Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
It's that time again, and Outpost is freshly delivered. I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is always, the wonderful, talented, and multitasking Drea Kaufman.
Hello!
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Good.
Awesome.
It feels like... I don't have much to say today for whatever reason.
I know. Well, maybe it's just because we saw each other last night, because we did a 602
club. Because we had an awesome recording on Infinity Wars.
We did. And
if you have seen that movie, you should go listen to that, because it was a ton of fun.
I dare say it may be the episode we laughed the most in.
Like, it was one of the most enjoyable I think I've recorded in a long time.
Yeah, it was super fun. I mean, I'm not sure if I take offense to that or not, since, but I see how it goes. Okay.
I'm not saying that these aren't fun too. God, reading into my words.
Oh, man. Anyway, well, I'm super excited to be here to be talking about the Triwizard Tournament Chapter 12. But before we do that, of course, always remember that you can find us all over the place here at the Nerd Party. Go over to iTunes, find Outpost, make sure you give us a star rating and review, let people know you like the show, help others find us, and if you won our review contest, please do contact us, because we still haven't heard anything from anyone yet. And so we had two different winners, Kid at Heart 33 and Jedi Fish, so... If you are one of those people, go over to thenerdparty.com/contact, choose a show, choose Outpost, and send us your contact information, and we will send you your prize. And if you wanted to send us an email, you can do that over there as well. Now, make sure you're following us over on Twitter at @JoinNerdParty and liking us over on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty so you can check out and follow everything that's going on here on The Nerd Party. So... I thought it was interesting, Drea, that this chapter, you know, we get a character that we don't get in the movies at all. I always like it when Peeves shows up, because adds some character to the castle, I think.
I sort of understand why we don't have the ghosts really in the movie. I mean, from a CGI and a production standpoint, I imagine it would be difficult, but they have so much like unique soul, not to... No pun intended in that case, but they add so much to the story and it adds so much to like the world that she's created. It's just disappointing that we don't get more of them we don't get the Baron, we don't get Peeves,
right.
You know, there's so much we don't get. And it's such an interesting part. So it's always fun to get the Mischief Maker or any of the ghosts really.
It is, you know, and I love that it's funny because it's pouring rain and it's still pouring rain even by the time they get to the castle. And then Peeves is throwing water balloons at the students as they walk into the castle, which I just found. I mean, it's just, I don't know. What it is that thing that George Lucas was very good at in Star Wars, which is just adding something for whimsy's sake. You know, it creates a sense of ambiance, you know. So like in Return of the Jedi, where they pull out of Jabba's castle and it's the suns are setting and you see that little like frog like thing sitting there and he just like chews his tongue out, eats something and burps. It's just it's only there because it's just a sense of whimsy and like Peeves is definitely that character. And it makes the castle kind of feel more magical and just alive in a really fun way. So I just really enjoy that. Of course, you know, I love that Professor McGonagall is just yelling at him to stop and how, you know, don't make us get the Bloody Baron. And good. It's kind of a interesting, fun way to start the chapter. Because what's interesting about this chapter, too, is it's really not one where a ton happens because so much of it is them waiting to eat and watching the sorting and watching the kids get sorted. Kind of our first time to get a sorting song in a really long time, which was interesting because that kind of gives us actually the history of the school and where the sorting hat came from, which was actually, I thought, people kind of tend to skip songs in books, you know, when you read like Tolkien or something. But this one, it was great. She adds a bit of history to the story. And I really enjoyed rereading this because it's one of those things where you just don't expect it to be there. And then she just gives you little hints of like, oh, this is what it would be like to read Hogwarts of History.
Right. I agree. A lot of people skip over the songs, you know, myself included, but I feel like she always has such purpose with them that I sort of have to make myself go back and force myself to make sure that I'm reading it, you know, and I'm never disappointed. So it's fun that we got that song. It's fun that we get to sort of experience the sorting for the first time since they themselves were sorted, because kind of like we mentioned last week, they've missed the sorting every week. Or every year since their first year, for whatever reason. So it's nice to come back to that and have almost a sense of like normalcy to the start of the school year, right? I mean, beyond the Death Eater showing up at the Quidditch, but I mean, other than that, getting in the year is pretty normal.
I mean, besides that, you know.
Besides that. But yeah, so it's nice. It's nice to have that.
Well, and it also created a fun conversation, you know, because Harry and Hermione don't have as much familiarity with things. Obviously, Hermione has a little more knowledge because she's read Hogwarts History, but they have the whole conversation about, you know, because Colin Creevy's little brother Dennis is here now, and will they be in the same house? And, you know, Harry's like, well, you know, aren't most siblings in the same house? And they're like, well, no. I mean, you know, you look at the Parvati sisters, and one is in Ravenclaw, and one is Gryffindor, and they're both, you know, they're twins. So if, you know, what I loved about that was it makes sense that Harry would be kind of shocked because obviously, you know, he spends all his time with the Weasleys and they're all Gryffindors.
They're all in the same house, right?
Yeah. So you can understand why somebody who hasn't read Hogwarts of History would be a little bit confused. But I also thought it was interesting because when you listen to the Sorting Hat song and you think about, you know, family members, it makes sense that different family members would be in different houses because, I have a sister.
They have different attributes.
And we have some of the same attributes, but not all. So that the Sorting Hat might put us in someplace different. So, yeah, I just thought that was kind of, it just created fun conversation.
I know lots of siblings that would rather not show up in the same house as each other.
That is true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I also like that Ron at the end, he's like, that's, of course, it's not the same song, Harry, you know, because Harry's shocked that it's not the same song. He's like, he sings a different one every year. He's like, it's got to be kind of a boring life being a hat. I'm pretty sure he probably just spends all year making up the next one.
Right. I thought that was so funny because it was like, you know what? That's true.
Well, and then I felt bad for the students and because everybody's starving and they're all just pretty much waiting for them to get through this sorting. So they don't necessarily really care. They're just ready to eat. I mean, who could blame you after a long train ride and it's been raining. And then you end up with them talking about the run-in with Peeves and how, you know, Peeves is not allowed at the sorting ceremony, and nearly Headless Nick explaining why. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just more depth and information than we've had on our environment and kind of the conditions they're in, and really gets you to dive further into this like mystical world of, you know, Hogwarts. So the ghost man, I don't know why we left him out of the movies.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun. So I also think it's interesting because this is the moment, too, where they talk about, you know, Peeves messing everything up, and he was in fine form, apparently, in the kitchens this evening because he wasn't going to get to come to the sorting. And well, apparently, Hogwarts has house elves.
Yeah, and we get to see Hermione sort of lose it again. Goes on almost a hunger strike to you know, because of what she finds out. And it's just it's so interesting. I mean, this is a huge thing that they're finally sort of, that, you know, Rowling is finally kind of sharing that, you know, kind of it's just widely accepted that you use house elves, you know. And Hermione's like, well, I hope they treat them better. And I think it was Sir Nick who was like, why? They're house elves. Like, it was so interesting. Like, just that thought process and how it applies to other areas of our lives. If you think about, I mean, I thought about it too hard probably, but, you know, it's just such a message that she's sending. And this becomes so, we just see how this is starting to become more important to Hermione as we're progressing.
It is. And I thought what was kind of fascinating to me is that we're building it in a certain way right now with Hermione, because she's kind of our sole person who's kind of upset about this at the moment. But what I think is going to be interesting is seeing the way that she rounds this all out, you know, and to me, that's going to be the really fascinating thing. I remember reading this the first time and thinking to myself, you know, like, house elves have to be treated better under Dumbledore here than probably anywhere else anyway, you know.
You would hope.
You would think.
You would hope, but I mean, we haven't really learned anything about who really runs things there and, you know, who runs the kitchen. I mean, Filch is not going to be the world's kindest person, and if... Mm-hmm. He has any sort of weight or say over the kitchens, or, you know, we don't know who runs the kitchens. You know, it's not Dumbledore who's down in there like running the kitchens on a daily basis. So it's just, it's interesting to think about how all these things that sort of magically appear. And I think he even says that, like, who did you think made your food every year? Like, mm-hmm. what did you think happened? It's so interesting when you just think about that in everyday life, like, who does whatever for you all the time? You know, you become an adult. Who does your laundry? Oh, your parents have been doing your laundry? Like, everyone has an epiphany where they're like, oh, crap, I have to do that all by myself now? Ugh.
Mm, yeah. No, I agree with you. I think it is, it's just going to be something that's going to be really interesting to continue with. What's fascinating for the students here is that they learn that and for a moment, I think Harry almost has a conniption fit, when Dumbledore announces that they will not be doing the Quidditch Cup this year, because they're going to be having the Tri-Wizard Tournament. Shocking.
Yay!
I feel like I read that somewhere before this. Oh, it's the chapter title.
Oh, maybe it's the chapter title.
But I love what they learn about this. But before they get to learn anything about the Tri-Wizard Tournament, I don't know if rudely interrupted, but the entire Great Hall is, well, I would say rudely interrupted by...
Hijacked.
Mad-Eye Moody.
I think it's hijacked. The moment is hijacked by Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, and then just sort of takes a seat and everyone's sort of giving him weird looks. And
like, nobody's clapping but Hagrid and Dumbledore, which is also weird because usually when a new teacher's announced, apparently everybody's, you know, pretty excited, at least by the staff. And
yeah.
That.
So weird.
And he sits down and instead of drinking the drink in front of him, he takes out a flask and throws one back.
That's how you know it's a winning teacher, though.
Yeah, I guess.
You have teachers,
you know,
that just drink out of a flask in front of you in high school or elementary school?
Yeah. None of them thought they were Jack Kerouac, you know, so.
Gotcha.
So I love, though, when he starts explaining what the Tri-Rezzard tournament is and that the reason that they had stopped because the death toll got too high, and you could just see Hermione mouthing, "The death toll." Like, it's just so funny. And so, but they have decided to bring this back. And so Bobatons and the Drumstring will be heading to Hogwarts in October to commence with the next Triwizard Tournament, which, what a really cool idea. Like, I just, this is one of those things that I think is kind of fascinating, that she came up with. And it's really exciting that she came up with this idea. Because what it does is it really changes the, this is the book that doesn't fall into what the formula that she had already used. Three yeah. times, you know, and I think it's just, again, it's just really smart.
She really did. She took her formula and she's like, let's change it up without having to recreate anything. She found a way to sort of integrate changes into the book in a natural feeling way. I do like that it's different here than it is in the movie, because in the movie, the delegation show up at the sorting. And, you know, everything happens at the beginning of the year at the sorting versus here where it's sort of spread out throughout the year a little bit, you know, it gives those delegations time to start school and identify themselves and then travel and that sort of thing, which makes more sense logically. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels more real this way. I hope they don't enter in dance either, but, who knows? We'll see. We'll see. I do like that Fred and George are just like their undies are in a bunch about the fact that they cannot participate because they've decided to set the age cap or the age limit to cut down on the death toll, you know? So I found it interesting that they were, you know, well, not interesting. I thought it was funny that they got their mm-hmm. their draws all in a bunch about the fact that they were going to be 17 by the end of the year. So why couldn't they participate? It's so interesting to see everyone so excited to put their life on the line.
Yeah, I think that I mean, it makes sense. You know, obviously the reason for bringing this back is to bring these schools back together, but also they wanted to find a way to do it where it would be safer. And so one of the ways that they've come up with altogether is that you would have to be 17 or above. And, you know, it because they wanted students who had learned enough that they would be able to put them through challenges that would be tough enough to, you know, for I mean, because not only do you win the Tri-Wizard Cup, but you also win 1,000 galleons too. So like, this is a big deal for the person that wins this.
I want to know what a galleon translates to, like pound or dollar. I'm guessing it's kind of one.
I don't know. I wonder if they have that on Google.
I don't know.
You know, galleon to pound.
Google. We're finding out. We're all learning together here. That's what we do best.
Let's see.
Galleon to USD. 1 galleon is about $6.64.
Oh, there you go.
So
good,
that's
to
a
know.
Lot of money.
Yeah,
that
the exchange rate, guys,
money.
Is great. So
yeah, I mean, that's a ton of money for a kid to 17-year-old to win $6,000. I mean, as we've established, we don't even know if taxes exist, so it might be tax free.
Yeah, there you go. And
it
and
all
you
comes
and
back around.
You know, I love how this chapter ends with poor Neville. Getting his foot stuck in the stair. And the best part about it, though, is that when it happens, somebody is like laughing at him and Ron's like, "Shut it, you!" Like, it's just so great. You could just totally see Ron doing that. What I love is these little tiny moments that give us a taste of these kids and who they're growing up to be. And Ron is somebody who doesn't like people getting picked on the way he gets picked on. And I think that's cool to see him come to Neville's defense. It speaks very highly of him.
I really like that the way the chapter ends is they're getting in bed and getting all warm and comfortable. And Harry's first thought is like, you know, I'm in bed. They're the pans with the warmer, I mean, which is not something we use in the United States, really. But, you know, there's the warm coals between a pan that you put in the sheets to keep the bed from being cold. You know, his comment is, you know, most definitely put there by house elves.
Yes.
Making
well,
his bed all nice and warm.
And that's not the only thing keeping him warm. The thought of winning the Triwizard Tournament and Cho's face definitely is doing something for Harry as well. So.
Yeah. It's a good night for Harry.
Yeah, it is a good night for Harry. So, and it really leads, we have some exciting things that are coming up. We've got a brand new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher that we're going to get to meet next week in a chapter named Mad-Eye Moody. We've got the Triwizard Tournament coming up. So this year seems to be a big one for students at Hogwarts. And I'm excited to continue on with this book because there are so many things that happen.
Students over the age of 17 at Hogwarts.
Well, let's
be true.
Everybody else just gets to watch. So.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to, you know, catch up with you about some Harry Potter, or maybe they want to talk a little Infinity War with you, where can they find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, COFFMAN. I got no clever quip today. I'm all clevered out.
Well, you could find me on Twitter, @RushingZero2. And of course, I'm on Instagram under the same name. I'm here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we talk just a great Star Wars topic each week. We just pick something out. We might surprise each other sometimes, like we did this last week, which is a lot of fun. So yeah, I hope you will listen to Aggressive Negotiations over on the Trek FM network, where I'm talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones on The Orb. And then, as we mentioned, Drea and I just recorded on the 602 Club together as we talked about Infinity War. We have some really great stuff coming up. We're going to be talking about an Indiana Jones movie soon. Solo will be coming out, you know, so keep you wouldn't want to be listening to the 602 Club. And then last but not least, doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk about films through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.